I want to just briefly say something about the market model, about state control, and the possible middle course between these two. The rise of the market model isn't at all surprising, given the amazing catastrophe of Eastern European and Soviet socialism. The total collapse of that, it being an economic failure as well as an oppressive and, in Stalin's time, hugely murderous system, the same kind of thing being repeated during Mao's time in China, it's not surprising that people reacted against an economy and a society hugely under state control. And so as a result, if having everything run by the market is the obvious alternative, then it looks to me pretty much like the clear winner. But it isn't the only alternative. Society is more complicated than that. But I want to go back to an old paper which Maynard Keynes wrote in 1926, a lecture he gave in Berlin that year, called The End of Laissez-Faire. And he argued for two things, which I think if people had actually read the paper and thought about it, much of the evils of the 20th century might have been avoided. Because so much of the 20th century was the whole Cold War period, when we nearly blew ourselves up over should the things be run by the state or by the market. If people had listened to Keynes, people might not have had such crude views. Keynes argued that we need to distinguish what's technically better provided by the market from what's technically better provided by the state. In other words, an empirical matter. And, you know, we might find, for instance, I'm inclined to believe that health care is something the state should provide, whereas handing over the technological developments in computers to some state-run bureaucracy would probably be a total disaster. In other words, you know, I may be wrong about either of those things, but we should look and ask, what is the function of this particular organization, and in what setup will it flourish, in the market or in the state? But he also argued not only that we have to choose on grounds of results what works, what doesn't work, but he also argued for there being a third thing, autonomous bodies within the state, which were neither under state control nor under the total influence of the market. What he said was, I suggest that progress lies in the growth and recognition of semi-autonomous bodies within the state, bodies whose criterion of action within their own field is solely the public good as they understand it, and from whose deliberations motives of private advantage are excluded. Bodies which in the ordinary course of affairs are mainly autonomous within their prescribed limitations, but are subject in the last resort to the sovereignty of the democracy expressed through Parliament. Keynes's first example of such a body was a university, but others today might include the legal system, professional bodies, research councils, public broadcasting corporations, and others. Now, I think the Keynes vision of these semi-autonomous things, not market, but not under the thumb of the government, corresponds very closely to what Eastern European dissidents protesting against the Soviet system talked of when they said they wanted civil society. They wanted education to be seen not as just producing good communists. They wanted scientists having freedom to publish research, not having to put little footnotes about Marx, Engels and Lenin at the bottom and so on. They had the idea of a more general idea of the public good. Now, of course, we defending our universities in relatively free societies should not exaggerate the comparison with communist society. I remember going to Poland in the communist period, and the secret police were visible, and everybody had their letters open before they were. I must say, I have some worries about the emails these days in our society. We shouldn't exaggerate. We don't have to be heroes to stand up for the independence of universities and academic freedom in the way that, say, T.B. Davy had to in the past, or in the way people in the Soviet system had to. But nonetheless, some people, Nancy Olivieri, for instance, have had to show considerable courage in standing up to market forces. But although we shouldn't exaggerate the similarities with dissidents in Eastern Europe, The vision they had of a society with a plurality of institutions, guided by the public good, interpreted in terms of a plurality of values, is relevant to us. The threat to this vision and to the academic freedom bound up with it is less brutal and more subtle, but the vision, I think, is still worth articulating and defending. Thank you.